If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love of the One Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is Expanding Beyond the Personal Self by Creating Your Own Spiritual Experiences. So if you're ready, call yourself forward into alignment with your own divine presence. Ask for the clearing of your energy. Ask to be aligned spiritually according to the highest rate that you can embody at this time. Ask that any karma or negativity that could be lifted for your highest good, that be lifted. And ask that you receive the quickening and activation that is your highest portion this evening. Ask to be filled, surrounded, and protected by the divine light of the Most High. That only what is for your highest good take place this evening. And always, always place yourself in the light. So we're going to do a process tonight that will enable you to experience yourself, to give yourself a direct experience. So the energies of our spiritual being tend to be dispersed throughout the 72,000 nerve channels, and they become dissipated through the five senses and our unfocused mind. So what we want to do is bring our energies and attention to the middle of our forehead and then back of the forehead inside the center of the head. Bring your focus to that which is called the third eye. And now close your eyes. And take a deep breath. And center your attention within. As you focus gently, without strain, without furrowing your brow, calm brow, quiet eyes, no stress. Excuse me. Now bring your awareness inside your body. Dive deep. Inside that field of inner energy. Notice your inner vitality and aliveness. Feel how everything is moving and dancing and sparkling within yourself. Notice the vibrancy, the life force. Try to sense your entire inner energy field as one whole, from head to toe. Experience yourself as a field of energy and vitality. When you can sense yourself as that field of inner energy, then slowly start expanding your inner energies. Expand beyond the imagined boundaries of your physical body. That's it. Keep expanding. Expand beyond your room. Fill your whole room, your house, wherever you are, with your energies. I'll fill your neighborhood, your city, your state or province, your country. Fill your whole nation with your presence. Now expand beyond the planet Earth. Become like water, filling every crevasse, every area, every form, every place. Be aware that you are free-flowing, ever-expanding energy. Conscious awareness. Register this sense of boundless freedom and omnipresence. That's you, the real you. Who was consciously expanding and aware? That's you. That's the real you as conscious awareness. Take another deep breath. And return your consciousness to the center of your head. That's where you're seated in the self. That's where you focus. That's where you hold your attention. Excellent. So by practicing simple self-awareness, experiential spiritual exercises, such as the one we have just done, you can expand beyond the ingrained tendency to identify yourself as a physical limited body. You begin to dissolve that thought form that you're limited. And you give yourself an experience of your own creation, of your real self, as life energy. Boundless conscious awareness. And that ever-expanding freedom is who and what you are forever. Your sense of omnipresent freedom gives rise to bliss, ananda. And that is your natural, true state of being. So most people, when they're told to go within, have no idea how to do that, where to focus their attention, or what to do when they're inside, so-called, themselves. They don't know how to get in there. And we've just given you a simple experiential process of how you focus in the center of your head. That's the seat of the soul. And you bring all of the dispersed energies that get dissipated through the senses and the unfocused mind and your nerve channels. You do that by taking a deep, intentional breath and bringing your focus to your third eye. And there you find your center of being. And you focus your attention there. And then you create your own inner experiences. You can do this through your creative imagination. You image in what you would experience. You place an image in your mind's eye of what you want to experience. Why? Because if you don't, you will go through the third eye, which looks very much like the camera eye, the lens of a camera. It's often seen as a golden circle with a deep blue center. And when you go through that in your imagination, you soul travel into the soul realm, which has a plane corresponding to the soul realm on each dimension. Physically, you see it in your third eye as that golden ring with a circle of blue. You see it astrally, you see it causally, you see it mentally, you see it etherically. But if you go directly into soul, it'll feel like you have entered into that ring, that eye, if you will, and it will just be pure golden light, which is fine. It's fine. You don't have to have a form. But if you want to be conscious at that level, you need to place a form that you can have a experience with. It's temporary because in highest truth, you're formless love and wisdom and creative intelligence. But we're talking about you creating inner experiences that validate your own divine essence, not something that you can get vicariously. Somebody else can't do this for you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to build in your own experiences in these realms and make them come alive for you. So you can create the image that you would like to interact with, be it the master or an inner plane, mystery school or temple, or just to experience yourself as energy, vibration, and awareness. You can mock it up, which means, again, to imagine it in, to create in your mind's eye a realm that you will then walk through imaginatively, but experientially within your own mind, your own inner being. So it's all about self-mastery, self-actualization, self-realization. And so it's not someone else's guided meditation, which is okay for beginners, but not for seasoned light workers. You need to start working more consciously inwardly. Because as a master, you learn to master energy and consciousness. And you know how to direct them so that not a bit of energy is wasted or unproductive, but everything moves forward. The expansion of divine awareness. You can also physically act as if. Act from the end result of what you wish to externalize. Very good technique. So initially, it may be taking all of this by faith because you haven't yet done the inner work to validate it for yourself. But then you will find your own proof and validation through inquiry, examination, but ultimately through your direct personal experience. Now, the other practice most of us have been through for many lifetimes is meditation, which often is simply passive waiting. Very often it's following someone else's guided imagery, or it's practicing mindfulness, or it's practicing just being present with whatever shows up. But it has an awful lot to do with waiting. What are you waiting for? Somehow, we've gotten the idea that there's something that we're waiting to happen before we can be self-actualized, before we can be free, before we can be saved, before we can be delivered. We have sort of this Cinderella waiting for Prince Charming to ride up on a white horse. That sometimes is very, very time-wasting and impractical. Many light workers are waiting for the disclosure, for the space fleets to land, for some are waiting for the rapture when suddenly we're lifted up to be with Christ. Actually, that means to lift yourself up into Christ consciousness, which is another word for soul awareness. It's an inner lifting. Not dropping your clothes on the ground and being whisked up into the air somewhere. Some are even waiting for that last trumpet so that they will rise from their graves incorruptible. I went to an exhibit when I was in the UK. And it was called Visions of Salvation, I think it was called. And all this artwork having to do with the return of Christ and the rapture. And I sat on one of those long benches in front of a painting that was fascinating to me because it showed all of these people crawling out of their graves. And an angel up in the sky blowing a trumpet. And all these people are crawling out of their graves. And I thought, good Lord, so many people have taken those passages in the sacred scriptures literally. Not understanding that we are energy and consciousness. We're not this body. And then there are many people that are waiting for the spaceships to beam them up. And bada bing, bada boom, changing them as if by magic and putting them back on Earth as an ascended master that can materialize money and food and whatever. with all the bells and whistles and so forth and so on. But none of these are grounded in practical, experiential reality. Is there a supernatural element? Yes. But it has to do with the transfiguration of your entire being into living love. And that is indeed supranatural. It takes that which appears as material form and raises the vibratory field until it manifests as pure light. And the light into the living word of pure truth, which is another word, another description for your true being. So you create your own reality without and within. And within, it's simply expressed and seen outwardly as your life. So there's nothing to wait for. You have never, in highest truth, left God. You're in God. God is in you. You are one. And all these stories that imply waiting for something outside of yourself to happen are misinterpretations of a very esoteric and a very sacred transfiguration that is being wrought from within by that pure divine being that you are. That divine inner glory is manifesting and breaking aside the illusions that you've ever been in a body, in time, space, and limited, or broken, or in any way affected by entering into these fields of densified belief systems. Let's call them that. So there's no need to wait. You have always been divine. You have always been one with God. You have always been whole and perfect. There's nothing you need to add to yourself to be more spiritual, more whole. Do you understand that? You can't add to what God has already created as its perfect self in you and as you. You will realize that when you focus your attention in the center of your head, bring all of the forces of your energy up through your breaths and seat it there, and then dive deep into the self. And being proactive in working with the energetics within you. Yes, ask the one you look to as your master, be it your higher self or your inner Holy Spirit, or the Avatar Sai Baba, or Jesus the Christ, or the Holy Spirit, or Divine Mother. Indeed, ask to see, to really see who you are. But put yourself in that position where you can have the experience. Get in the arena where this can happen and start working with what shows up for you. So spiritual exercises are not passive waiting. They are going into the divine. They are entering through that third eye. They're diving deep inside the kingdom of heaven within you. And they're observing what's there. Or they're sensing the energies. Or they're listening for the sound current. Or they're mocking up an experience for themselves, creating a context for experience to happen. So however you can engage your inner senses, because every outer sense that you have has an inner corresponding sense, so you learn to see and feel and sense and touch and taste, however you're divinely designed to do that, to get that experience for yourself. So you see it there, you feel it there, you place it there, you imagine it there, and it will be there. It's all done according to you, because you are creative intelligence itself. So your experience is your validation, your proof. And you know it's the truth when it sets you free. You'll always get a feeling of relief and release when you have touched into reality. Truth always frees. Truth always lends support. Truth strengthens you supernaturally as well as physically and naturally. For example, untruth weakens. It gives you no support. Those of you that are familiar with kinesiology or muscle testing know that when you muscle test a person and they tell a lie, the body won't support them. It goes weak. And when a person is convinced that what they're saying is true, that arm cannot be pushed down no matter how hard you push on it. And that's the principle that you see in life. That when someone is lying, they have no support. They become weak and unsteady and uncertain because they are standing on no firm foundation that gives them support. And it's dishonesty, it's lies, it's deceit that forfeits divine aid. That's why truth is its own protection. Own protection. So now in the exercise we just did, you've given yourself a direct experience of expanding beyond the limits of the person you've imagined yourself to be. And that's how you self-initiate your own spiritual inner reality. This is how you validate for yourself your own boundless existence. I had such an interesting experience doing this myself. I asked Baba, Sai Baba, to have an experience of what it was like to be present in every heart, everywhere, as everyone. And he told me to do just what I guided you to do. And I expanded and I found myself for the first time consciously aware of being everywhere in everyone. And of course, you know, I came back down because those experiences have to be integrated and grounded. And, you know, you're given a vision, a taste, and then you have to work into that. Your vibrations have to raise up to that level. And the other day I was meditating, and all of a sudden I found myself in all the bodies of the various yogis And we're meditating in the Himalayas, in the caves, thousands of years under these hills, meditating in Shambhala, meditating everywhere. I was in all of the monks and all of the monasteries and all of the nuns and all of the different faiths. And I wasn't trying to create that experience. It just happened. So once you prove to yourself that you are very intent upon experiencing yourself beyond the limited person that you've imagined yourself to be, you'll find that that sincere desire begins to produce for you experiences like I've just shared that I've had. And it's pretty exciting. That's where truth is its own support. It's supporting you into finding the truth of your being. So you go from passive waiting for something to happen or someone to do it for you, or waiting for Christ to return, or Maitreya to emerge, or the spaceships to land, or Ashtar to beam you up. You go from that, or waiting until you die, or you go to heaven, or you go into the soul realms with the spiritual traveler, instead of waiting for all of that. You move to it now. And you embody as much as you can possibly embody at this time without becoming a crispy critter. Yeah, it'll make your electrons vibrate at such a high rate that your body starts to really burn. It's burning out the impurities, the karmas, the carbon emissions, if you will, from your cells. So it begins that process of active purification, which is fiery, and you'll sweat, and you'll tremble, and your body feels like it's on fire sometimes. And that's all part of the process of getting your vehicles tempered and strong enough to hold this powerful presence that is you, without ego. So you can meditate for many lifetimes, waiting for something to happen, as we've all probably done, or you can dive deep inside yourself and explore working with your own creative imagination and creating experiences. A very good one that you could create for yourself as an example. I mean, there's endless ones. But say, for example, you want to meet with your master, your teacher, whether it's Sai Baba or Gurudev or Yogananda, Sri Yukteswar, Babaji, Divine Mother, Jesus, Maitreya, whomever, the Mahanta, whomever you want to experience. Imagine that you're sitting in a waiting office. You're waiting in the foyer of the master's office. And you go up to the reception desk and you say, I have an appointment with the master, and my name is such and such. And she'll say, please take a seat. I will call you when the master is ready to see you. So you take your seat. Pretty soon, she comes and says, the master is ready to talk to you. So you imagine yourself walking into his office, and you sit down. And you begin to talk to him, asking him the question, or sharing with him exactly what you're there to talk about. And then he talks to you, or she. Sometimes it's a female. And you pay attention, because that is an actual, real experience. And I've done that exercise many, many times in the past. And what happened for me, at some point, my imagination became alive and took on a force of its own that was so real, I knew for a fact. I had just had an interview with the master, and I had just been given the teaching that I needed to hear. So I offer that to you. Have an interview with the master. Lately, I've been having an interesting, very interesting experience with Sai Baba. I'll sit down in the morning and we'll have a talk. And usually it begins with me expressing my gratitude for the things in my life and the blessings that have been given to me. That always raises my vibration. And then I'll pick something, like, for example, the experience I just shared, where I wanted to know what it felt like to be as he is, where he experiences himself everywhere, omnipresent, and dwelling in the hearts of all beings. Because theoretically, I know that's true, but I had never actually had that experience that I could recall, where I actually was in the hearts of everyone. And so he started me out answering my own question by talking to him, and then he gradually brought me into that experience. I hadn't even thought that he would do that. But lately, that's what he's been doing. Out of my own mouth, I will answer my own question that I've placed to him, and then he will give me an experience of it. One time I asked him for the experience of the various stages of samadhi. And he put me one after the other in the various levels of samadhi. One after the other. And he did it several times, very slowly, so I could see the transition and the progression of the energy and the state of consciousness as I moved from one to the next. Gave me a tangible reference point for things that normally we don't think to ask God. Normally we don't think to consider that it's possible to experience that to some degree right now. But there's no need to wait until you're enlightened or some, you know, in some ashram somewhere. Right here, right now, all of those states of consciousness are within you. And as I said in the last seminar, the last show, our vibrations must match the reality that we would enter. But if you think to ask a question, chances are it's within your reach, or it wouldn't even been brought to your mind to ask. Because who's asking the question? God within you. You as God are asking the question of your own God self. And you will not be denied. Because I know you're not monkeying around with us. I know how serious you are. How desperately you want to awaken. I know that. You just need some encouragement in where to look, how to look, how to focus your energies, and in some cases, a little bit of an idea what you might be able to experience, which is why I share my process with you. It's encouraging. It's encouraging when somebody has had the experience that you're longing to have and you don't have a clue how to make it happen for yourself. And I'm telling you, you don't have to wait. Start having that intense relational experience with your own master self. And I know some of you are probably asking, well, if I do all this inner stuff, is it really real? Am I really experiencing my real self? Well, this is the thing. Everything is as real as you believe it to be. You decide your own reality. It's always placed back with you. Every teacher worth their salt is going to tell you it's all up to you. The only thing a teacher can do is teach you a technique and point a direction. But you have to walk into your own process, your own reality, and make it real for yourself. So let's consider this. Is the self you are imagining yourself to be every day really real? Well, it can't be. Why? Because your present persona is temporary and will be replaced by a new persona in your next lifetime, if you have one. Some of you may, this may be your last time around. Some of you may have a few more. It's up to God. But in every lifetime, you get a new physical body, a new brain, a new personality, and a new lens of perspective through which you can view life. You really get to reinvent yourself. So what comes along with you? Your overall energies and your conscious awareness. And as I've told you before, you have a permanent atom of the best that has been you throughout eternity that's kept like a little savings account that you carry over from life to life. So you take the best thoughts, the best emotions, the best experiences spiritually. You don't lose those. They go into your permanent atom. The permanent atom for the physical body gives the level of evolution, vibration, karmic health or lack thereof, the weaknesses and the tendencies physically that you need to work through in your next physical form. That goes into making your new body. And the same thing at each level. So you don't lose anything of value. It's so important to realize you don't lose energy and consciousness, but you have the experience of living in a new perspective, a new sense of yourself, if you will. And it keeps growing and expanding because it's endless. There's always more. So your energies can never be destroyed. They can never cease to be. They can only be transformed into a new and more expanded version, which is what happens. Your consciousness cannot be destroyed. That's you. That's your uniqueness. It can only be transformed into a higher state, a higher, more expanded awareness and realization. And that is you from age to age. So your energies, however, and your conscious awareness cannot be destroyed. They constitute you, regardless of every changing form that you may inhabit temporarily, of all the various roles and personas you may choose to assume. Why? Because soul is here to have all experiences. Why? Because it wants to. It's curious. You as soul, or jivatma, you are the desire of God to become many, to experience a variety, an endless variety of loving relationships. To extend love, to receive love. Because the only thing that Almighty God does not possess is your heart and your love. You alone can give your heart to the Lord. You alone can give your love to God. And God created you to experience your love. So only the outer forms change, like suits of clothing. You, as your unique field of energy, your vibrational life force and essence, and your conscious awareness are immortal. Now, regardless of whether you have a physical form or are operating in one of the many subtle bodies that you have, or are simply manifesting as formless presence, you remain uniquely you. And as you keep building in this sense of cosmic identity, and you keep expanding your awareness, you begin to be recognized spiritually by your unique presence, multidimensionally. You show up. You grow beyond your personal self. And you manifest as that impersonal self that is the self within all. So whatever you imagine and mentally mock up, you endow with a temporary existence on some level. Every thought manifests as a form on some level. So your physical, present physical body is actually your own temporary mock-up. It is in truth a Maya Virupa, an illusory, mentally constructed thought form. To enable you to manifest in this mocked-up, illusory world, the world itself is a mock-up of of your overall consciousness, which is then projected within your own mind. There's no outer world, it's within your own mind, and it matches the reality that you have taken to be real. The only difference between a person who is learning this and a master is that masters create an illusory form called the Maya Virupa. And they create it and dematerialize it as at will. And it suits the purpose for which they want to manifest. When would you see it? In a vision. When Sai Baba appears to you, as he does to many, many devotees, to many people. And sometimes in more than one form and more than one place, and he's been photographed. And he's doing so many miracles all over the world, it is simply astounding, more than ever. And so, he has no problem being anywhere, at any time, in any number of bodies. And there is real and tangible, as when Jesus the Christ manifested in his ascended body to the apostles and to Thomas. And he ate with them, he broke bread with them, and he ate fish with them. And Thomas said, I won't believe until I can put my hand in his side where the sword, the spear had pierced him, and I can put my finger in his wounds where he was nailed on the cross. And so Jesus told him, come, put your hand in my side. Here, put your fingers in these wounds. And he fell before Jesus and said, my Lord and my God. Then he realized, but only when he had that experience. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And we always have those, excuse me, we always have those levels of our consciousness that are doubting Thomas's. We all want proof. We all want to see. And I'm saying that when you really want to see, and you've done everything that you can do to create that for yourself, God will match you. In fact, God will do more than match you. Sai Baba said, if you take one step to God, God will take 1,000 steps to you. So just a little bit of effort will be rewarded. And so creating these forms and having mastery of energy and consciousness is how perfected masters are able to operate in and out of time, beyond form, and anywhere and everywhere at the same time. And every single one of them started where we're starting. Every single master began where you and I are and made their way gradually in the process of mastering their energies, their consciousness, and their focus. So it all begins with exercising your ability to imagine and mock up inner experiences for yourself. The big key here is to move your inner awareness, your focus of attention, to where you would be and to what you would experience. And you do that all the time. For example, you're anticipating going out on a date with somebody. You're imagining, you know, a romantic evening. You're going to go to, say, for example, a restaurant. And you imagine where you might go. You mock it up in your mind. And you think in your mind what you might want to eat. Then you go to the restaurant, and you're sitting there, and you're looking at the menu. And everything on that menu, you're running through your taste buds, your sensory perceptors. Do I want this? Do I want that? You're mentally experiencing eating that item before you've even ordered it. And then you're anticipating coming home. Will you invite the person in for coffee or to spend some time with you? Will that person kiss you? You're mocking it all up. Or your wedding. You imagine your perfect wedding and what it's going to be like to be married to this person that you love so much. And you anticipate your wedding night, your life together, what it'll be like, all of that. That's all creative imagination. But then why, in spite of how we've imagined our ideal romance and our perfect wedding, so often it turns out to dissolve unhappily? And the reason is because we lose our original focus of love, of loving one another. Because you see, love is what sustains and endures beyond the physical forms. Love is God. Love is who you are. And a marriage, for example, is only an outer form. It's the love that gives it life and reality. And once the loving is lost sight of, the form disintegrates. And we start closing that heart and beginning to complain and criticize and find fault with one another. The heart begins to close down. And we make the outer form more important than the inner loving. Now, it's the same with physical bodies. According to Jesus in A Course in Miracles, our physical body is designed to communicate love. That's its purpose. Why have a body if you're not going to communicate love, if you're not going to express love? And Jesus said the body will begin to self-destruct when it is used lovelessly. So it is love that is divine and immortal that endows the form with temporary charm and attractiveness. People who have a loving heart and nature tend to appear more youthful. So when we love another, it is really the love that they evoke in us that we love. It's not the person or the form. It's their love that attracts and endears us to them. Check this out for yourself. So humanity as a whole is learning to move from the lower chakras up into the heart. almost all of humanity in the masses are operating out of the three lower chakras. The root chakra, the first chakra, governs survival and security. The second chakra, just above the navel, or just below the navel, actually, governs sensuality and sexuality. And the third chakra, the solar plexus, governs power. So everything you see playing out in the world stage clearly reveals this struggle for security, sensation, and power. So the next step in quantum leap for the majority of human beings is to move into alignment with the heart center, the fourth chakra, which governs goodwill and compassion and empathy. So nearly all work being done on behalf of raising the collective state of consciousness and increasing our planetary vibration to one of cooperative endeavor and coexistence, almost all of it involves a shift into heart resonance and of active goodwill. So lightworkers of all degrees of initiation are operating from the heart center and higher chakras as disciples and initiates, or should. So this is the important thing to remember, that we are here as a vanguard, the very way showers and pack leaders of this advancement of consciousness. We are each light encoded to fulfill our specific roles in this divine plan. And each one of us carries a specific vibrational role within this divine design, which is like a tapestry of consciousness, global in scope. So each expression is unique and no two are identical. And that's why it's so important for you to be you, the authentic you. The higher the self-awareness one carries, the more unique one's energy signature becomes, one's overall presence. And each high initiate and master is totally unique in their way of being and expressing. But know that the effect of an initiate is always global in its impact. The higher our vibration, the higher our level of initiation, the more global is our effect. So we learn to recognize the vibration and presence of those masters with whom we are closely aligned and associated. And that's, again, part of your inner work. So we are all called divinely to be here at this time and to be a participant in this great divine drama. And whichever role we've been cast in, may we each turn in our greatest performance yet. And as global bearers of light, we have the task of revealing the divine presence through our inner peace and certainty, and through our selfless compassion and service to all life. The Lord is the motivator within us, and the physical form and mind are the instruments to which the Lord manifests His supreme presence. So practice seeing as the masters see. They see the one appearing as the many. So let no prejudice nor dislike distort your vision. Keep reminding yourself, one spirit is animating all forms. One spirit. And though the ego may be portraying and projecting difference, because that's the nature of the illusion, look beyond that outer presentation to the one beloved, and know that is your own self, simply presenting as that other person. seek to lift the veils of Maya, the illusion of differences, and love all wholeheartedly with goodwill toward everyone. Be God's heart of compassion and His peace, enfolding all. So I hope this has been helpful for you. Ask the divine within you to open your eyes to look beyond the form, your own and that of others, until you can see your own self in everyone. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting. Anai, you. Deep breath. Anai, you. Raise your hands and send a blessing of divine peace to all the beings upon earth and to all of the beings in all of the worlds. May all find that peace and love that is their own authentic self. And may all dance in the bliss that revelation. Namaste.